morning and welcome to St. Columba's for our service of Holy Communion on this, the first Sunday in Lent. As is our custom during penitential seasons, we use the full version of the commandments, which you'll find on page 222 of your prayer book, and do please put a marker in at that point. The Gloria is also omitted, and in addition to the Collect of the Day, which you'll find on the cover page of the Pew News, we use the Lenten Collect also, which you'll find on page 259. Our service begins on page 201. Grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Almighty God, to whom all hearts are open, all desires known, and from whom no secrets are hidden, cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you and worthily magnify your holy name. Through Christ our Lord. Amen. Turning to page 222, we use the commandments in full, and the congregational response is in the words of the New Testament. Hear these commandments which God has given to his people and take them to heart. I am the Lord your God. You shall have no other gods but me.
You shall have the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind, and with all your strength.
You shall not make for yourself any idol.
God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship in spirit and in truth.
You shall not dishonor the name of the Lord your God.
You shall worship him with reverence for the Lord.
Remember the Lord's day and keep it holy.
Christ is risen from the dead. Set your mind on things that are above, not on things that are on the earth.
Lord, have mercy on us and write these your laws in our hearts. Honor your father and your mother. You shall not commit murder.
Be reconciled to your brother and sister. Overcome evil with good.
You shall not commit adultery.
Know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit.
You shall not steal.
Be honest in all that you do, and care of those who need.
You shall not be a false witness.
Let everyone speak the truth.
You shall not covet anything which belongs to your neighbor.
Remember the words of the Lord Jesus. It is more blessed to give than to receive. Love your neighbor as yourself, for love is the fulfilling of the law.
Lord, have mercy on us and write all these your laws in our hearts. We turn back to page 202. God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, Jesus Christ, to save us from our sins, to intercede for us in heaven, and to bring us to eternal life. Let us then confess our sins in penitence and faith, firmly resolved to keep God's commandments and to live in love and peace. Almighty God, our Heavenly Father, we have sinned in thought and word and deed, and in what we have left undone. We are truly sorry, and we humbly repent. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us and forgive us, that we may walk in newness of life, to the glory of your name. Amen. Almighty God, who forgives all who truly repent, have mercy on you, pardon and deliver you from all your sins, confirm and strengthen you in all goodness, and keep you in eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord.
Amen. Amen.
The Collect for today, the first Sunday in Lent. Almighty God, whose Son Jesus Christ fasted 40 days in the wilderness and was tempted as we are, yet without sin, give us grace to discipline ourselves in obedience to your Spirit, and as you know our weakness, so may we know your power to save, through Jesus Christ our Lord.
Amen. Amen.
And the Lenten Collect. Almighty and everlasting God, you hate nothing that you have made, and forgive the sins of all those who are penitent. Create and make in us new and contrite hearts, that we, worthily lamenting our sins and acknowledging our wretchedness, may receive from you, the God of all mercy, perfect remission and forgiveness, through Jesus Christ our Lord.
Amen. Amen.
This short passage acts as a bridge between the Old Testament and Gospel readings. Paul has been contrasting the historic Jewish faith with our faith in Christ. They looked to God for miraculous works and mistakenly relied on doing good deeds to win salvation, whereas we know we are saved simply by our faith. The epistle is from Romans chapter 10, beginning at verse 8b. But what does it say? The word is near you, on your lips and in your heart. That is the word of faith that we proclaim. Because if you confess with your lips that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For one believes with the heart and so is justified, and one confesses with the mouth and so is saved. The scripture says, no one who believes in him will be put to shame, for there is no distinction between Jew and Greek. The same Lord is Lord of all and is generous to all who will call on him. For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. This is the word of the Lord.
Jesus has to face temptation to reveal the power of God within him by a show of mighty supernatural force. He rejects that for the ways of gentleness and compassion. Hear the gospel of our Saviour Christ according to Luke chapter 4, beginning at verse 1.
Glory to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
Jesus, full of the Holy Spirit, returned from the Jordan and was led by the Spirit in the wilderness, where for 40 days he was tempted by the devil. He ate nothing at all during those days, and when they were over, he was famished. The devil said to him, "If you are the Son of God, command this stone to become a loaf of bread." Jesus answered him, "It is written, one does not live by bread alone." Then the devil led him up and showed him in an instant all the kingdoms of the world. The devil said to him, "To you I will give their glory and all this authority, for it has been given over to me, and I give it to anyone I please. If you then will worship me, it will all be yours." Jesus answered him, "It is written, worship the Lord your God and serve only him." Then the devil took him to Jerusalem and placed him on the pinnacle of the temple, saying to him, "If you are the Son of God, throw yourself down from here. For it is written, he will command his angels concerning you to protect you, and on their hands they will bear you up, so that you will not dash your foot against a stone." Jesus answered him, "It is said, do not put the Lord your God to the test." When the devil had finished every test, he departed from him until an opportune time. This is the gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
May the words of my mouth and the thoughts of all our hearts be now and always acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer.
Amen.
Amen. The opening words of the Gospel as appointed for this, the first Sunday in Lent. Jesus fasted 40 days in the wilderness where he was tempted. I do a very limited amount of visits to homes of parishioners here in Knock. Apart from the fact that the rector doesn't push me too hard, he's very kind in that respect, it's not always easy to get people at home, especially as I have to travel in the first instance from Bangor. The lifestyle of people has changed dramatically since my days as a curate in Bangor Abbey and subsequently in Hollywood, when I set myself a weekly target, actively encouraged by my rectors, of 30 home visits. And that was something I tried to adhere to during my subsequent 35 years as rector in parishes. That is, of course, as you will realise, the rector recognises, and Canon Laverty and many others, in addition to all other parish responsibilities, of which there are many. Most of my visits to the homes of parishioners were enjoyable and also informative, although there were a few exceptions. In one case, I hit the door knocker seconds before I realised that there was the mother of all rows taking place in the house. The door was pulled open, and in language I would not express from this pulpit, I was told to clear off, and the door was slammed in my face. To this day, many years later, I'm not sure if the highly agitated person realised who was on the doorstep. I'm not sure which of the two of us would be more embarrassed. I've enjoyed many worthwhile visits here in Knock, and hope that I've never outstayed my welcome. If I have, I apologise. One visit comes to mind for a particular reason this morning. It was to a couple who spent the early years of life in County Fermanagh. We talked about Enniskillen and some of the notable buildings in the town, and that led to a conversation. It had to be brief to ensure that I would make further progress that day. It led to a conversation about Portora School, as it was known, and some of the illustrious past pupils, notably two great literary figures, Samuel Beckett and Oscar Wilde. As far as I know, and somebody from Enniskillen may correct me in this respect, a Becket festival takes place in the town every year. But of the two, Oscar Wilde is probably much better known, not merely because of his writings, but because of his lifestyle and his great conversational skills. If you've travelled directly from Ireland to France, you may know that a ship bearing his name travels that route. Oscar Wilde was a colourful character, who's reputed to have said on one occasion in the artificial setting of a late Victorian or Edwardian drawing room, "The easiest way to overcome temptation is to give in to it." Wilde challenged the very strict moral conventions of his time, and he was to pay very dearly for doing so. He was imprisoned because his personal relationships and activities were deemed to be illegal. At the time, homosexual activities were outlawed, and so his last days were spent in poverty and near isolation in a dingy flat in Paris. Oscar Wilde died about the same time as the writer of a typical Victorian hymn, "Yield not to temptation, for yielding is sin." You may notice that we're going to sing it at the end of this service, and while not by a long stretch of the imagination is it one of my favourites, I can't stand some of those syrupy Victorian hymns, we do tend to sing it with considerable gusto. I'll be watching and I'll be listening with interest at the end of the service. We'll all sing up. Anyway, long before Oscar Wilde strutted the stage in London and elsewhere, an outstanding Christian figure in the 5th century, St. Augustine, is supposed to have said, before adopting a rather strict and rigid approach to Christian living, "O Lord, make me good, but not yet." More than any other time in the Christian year, Lent is a period when we're encouraged to admit that we have feet of clay, that we're not paragons of virtue, and could, in the words of the school exam report, do much better. Not so long ago, it was the norm in nearly every parish to recite the litany at the beginning of Lent. Some of you will have noted that we did so at services here in St. Columba's on Ash Wednesday. One of my predecessors as rector of Newton Ards, who in his later years was one of the university lecturers in Dublin, my lecturers, was known for his direct approach to issues. Apparently, from what I'm told, he was leading the litany on the first Sunday in Lent, which in the old service begins with petitions and a response, "Have mercy upon us, miserable sinners." The response of the congregation apparently was so muted that he stopped and asked, "Am I the only miserable sinner in this church?" And then he informed the worshippers that he would start all over again. Rector, I don't think we have the litany this morning, and I'm sure there are no miserable sinners in this parish church. They're doing their best. Jesus fasted for 40 days in the wilderness, where he was tempted. It's impossible to avoid the familiar words of the temptations on this day. Both morning services include St. Luke's account as the core passage of Scripture. Now, time doesn't allow me to deal with the content of the passage, but you can read it as many times as you like in the course of this day. St. Luke chapter 4. At the beginning of his ministry, we know that Jesus spent a period of isolation in an area devoid of human habitation, a wilderness. And there he experienced many emotions and conflicts, which we call the temptations. Reference is made to the devil. Now, personally, I may be sceptical when a suggestion is made that I should acknowledge the existence of a character with horns sticking out of his head, for that to me is absolute nonsense. But to reject the concept of an evil force, call it the devil, call it whatever you like, well, that would be downright foolish. Some of you here this morning, like me, may be old enough to remember the TV commentator and presenter Malcolm Muggeridge. In one of his writings, I read that, to quote, "I find the devil easier to believe in than God, because I have had much more to do with him." Today, large cities to some people can suggest corruption, vice, and moral decadence. The risks, especially for young adults, may be far greater than in rural settings. Think, for example, of the horrendous number of knife crimes recently in which teenagers have been viciously murdered. However, an escape to the country or to the wilderness or to leafy suburbia doesn't guarantee that we won't succumb to temptation. Some time ago, I watched a television commentary, or documentary rather, about a group of people in the United States of America who worried about the unhealthy, dangerous, morally corrupt lifestyle of cities so much that they decided to live in a secluded place. Perhaps that is good for the soul, but it's not an option open to many people. Anyway, this group of people, who had hoped that they would be safe and insulated from temptation, discovered very quickly among themselves a high level of greed, dishonesty, bitterness, and hatred. No matter where we are, we can struggle with negative thoughts and emotions. We can have our own internal battle of wills, which can make us better people or drag us into the mists of bitterness and despair. Traditionally, Lent was designed to encourage people through a daily discipline, maybe by setting aside a few minutes to think, read, and pray, to think about the lives and the impact faith has on them. Last week, the rector spoke about St. Columba's 40-day challenge, outlining ways in which we can use Lent positively to make a difference. Apart from the benefit to others of our self-denial, our personal prayer, and our reflection, it can do much to recharge our own spiritual batteries. A friend told me some years ago that a Muslim friend of his, for whom prayer on 5 occasions every day is the norm, cannot understand the Western Christian's indifference to his or her faith. Religion, a term which is much criticized, means a rule, something which, if observed, keeps us fighting fit as disciples of Christ. The followers of John Wesley recognized the importance of rule, discipline, and method, and became known, as many of you will realize, as the Methodists. There is a saying that no one shall have conquered unless he has first struggled. James, in his short letter in the New Testament, wrote, "Blessed is he who endures under trials." Jesus was tempted, but he did not submit. Jesus taught us not to pray that we may be led into temptation per se, but if put to the test, then to deliver us from evil. The account of the temptations concludes with the statement that the devil departed from Jesus until an opportune time. It highlights the fact that life is not so simple that we can assume that when a crisis passes, it will never recur. The call to seek the Lord while he may be found can never be said too often. The search for the still small voice of God may seem elusive, but perseverance has to be the name of the game. And you know what? When we focus on the Lord who searches for us throughout our lives, we can, like Jesus, as he made his way from that wilderness to Galilee, return to daily living with its problems and with its opportunities, strengthened by the power of the Spirit. To God be the glory, and to God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, be ascribed as it's most justly due, all might, majesty, dominion, power, and glory, henceforth and forevermore.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
We believe in one God, the Father, the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all that is seen and unseen. We believe in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, of one being with the Father. Through him all things were made. For us and for our salvation he came down from heaven, was incarnate by the Holy Spirit of the Virgin Mary, and was made man. For our sake he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried. On the third day he rose again, in accordance with the Scriptures. He ascended into heaven, and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son is worshipped and glorified, who has spoken through the prophets. We believe in one holy, catholic, and apostolic church. We acknowledge one baptism for the forgiveness of sins. We look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. Using the prayers of intercession, let us pray.
Almighty God, our Heavenly Father, you promised through your Son, Jesus Christ, to hear the prayers of those who ask in faith. Lord of your people, strengthen your church in all the world. Lord, bless your people who are struggling with temptation. Guide your church that it may lead others to do your will and to live in love and peace with all. Lord, help us to make others aware of the deep spiritual things within our world, that we are all called to work with you. Help us to do your will and so live in your kingdom. Renew the life of this, our Diocese of Down and Dromore, and in the diocesan cycle of prayer, we pray for Braniel Community Church and its leader, Susan McFarland, and the whole life and work of that parish. Bless Harold, our bishop, John, our rector, Ken and Walter, our assistant priest, and Karen, our diocesan lay reader, and build us up in faith and love. And in the Anglican cycle of prayer, we pray for the province of the Anglican Church of Congo. Lord, in your mercy. Lord of creation, look with favour on the word you have made, guide the nations in the ways of justice and peace, and bless Elizabeth, our Queen, and all in authority. We remember before you all who are suffering through sin, violence, and war. We pray for peoples and nations that are divided against each other, through ancient wrongs and through greed. We pray for all who are sorely tempted to do wrong. Lord, show us all the peace that we should give and the peace we should forgo. Lord, in your mercy. Lord of our relationships, comfort and sustain the communities in which we live and work. We ask your blessing upon our homes and families. We bring before you all who are suffering from broken relationships and broken homes. We pray for those who have been rejected by their families and all who feel they have been betrayed in love. Bless all those who work to bring reconciliation and new hope to separated peoples. And help us to love our neighbours as ourselves, enable us to serve our families and friends, and to love one another as you love us. Lord, in your mercy. Lord of our healing, relieve and protect those who are sick or suffering. Be with those who have any special need. We give thanks for all who share in healing and restoring the well-being of those who suffer. We remember all who are in pain or distressed at this time. We ask your blessing upon those who are separated from loved ones through either illness or disability, and all who can no longer cope on their own. Lord, in your mercy. Lord of eternity, bind us together by your Holy Spirit. In communion with all your people and those who, having confessed the faith, have died in the peace of Christ, that they may entrust ourselves and one another and our whole life to you, Lord God, and come with all your saints to the joys of your eternal kingdom. Amen.
We do not presume to come to this your table, merciful Lord, trusting our own righteousness, but in your manifold and great mercies, we are not worthy so much as to gather up the crumbs under your table. But you are the same, Lord, whose nature is always to have mercy. Grant us, therefore, gracious Lord, so to eat the flesh of your dear Son, Jesus Christ, and to drink his blood, that our sinful bodies may be made clean by his body, and our souls washed through his most precious blood, that we may evermore dwell in him, and he in us. Amen. Being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. The peace of the Lord be always with you.
Thank you.
Lord, yours is the greatness and the power and the glory and the victory and the majesty. For all things come from you, and of your own we give you. Christ, our Passover, has been sacrificed for us. Turning to page 212, we use the second Eucharistic prayer. The Lord is here.
His Spirit is with us.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give our thanks and praise.
All glory and honor, thanks and praise be given to you at all times and in all places, Lord, Holy Father, true and living God, through Jesus Christ our Lord. For he is your eternal Word, through whom you have created all things from the beginning and formed us in your own image. In your great love, you gave him to be made man for us and to share our common life. He was tempted in every way as we are, yet he did not sin, and he gives us strength to control our desires and to walk in his way of love. In obedience to your will, your Son, our Saviour, offered himself as a perfect sacrifice and died on the cross for our redemption. Through him, you have freed us from the slavery of sin and reconciled us to yourself, our God and Father. He is our great High Priest, whom you raised from death and exalted to your right hand on high, where he ever lives to intercede for us. Through him, you've sent upon us your holy and life-giving Spirit and made us a royal priesthood called to serve you forever. Therefore, with angels and archangels and with all the company of heaven, we proclaim your great and glorious name, forever praising you and saying, Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest. Merciful Father, we thank you for these gifts of your creation, this bread and wine, and we pray that we who eat and drink them, in the fellowship of the Holy Spirit, in obedience to our Saviour Christ, in remembrance of his death and passion, may be partakers of his body and his blood. Who in the night he was betrayed took bread, and when he had given you thanks, he broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, Take, eat, this is my body which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. After supper, he took the cup, and again giving you thanks, he gave it to his disciples, saying, Drink from this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this as often as you drink it, in remembrance of me. Father, with this bread and this cup, we do as our Saviour has commanded. We celebrate the redemption he has won for us. We proclaim his perfect sacrifice, made once for all upon the cross, his mighty resurrection and glorious ascension, and we look for his coming to fulfill all things according to your will. Christ has died. Christ is risen. Christ will come again. Renew us by your Holy Spirit. Unite us in the body of your Son, and bring us with all your people into the joy of your eternal kingdom through Jesus Christ our Lord, with whom and in whom, by the power of the Holy Spirit, we worship you, Father Almighty, in songs of never-ending praise. Blessing and honour and glory and power are yours forever and ever. Amen. As our Saviour Christ has taught us, so we pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen. The bread which we break is a sharing in the body of Christ. We be many are one body, for we all share in the one bread. Jesus Christ is the Lamb of God, who has taken away the sins of the world. Happy are those who are called to his supper. Lord, I am not worthy to receive you, but only say the word, and I shall be healed.
Thou art the peace of all things come. Thou art the place to hide from harm. Thou art the light that shines in dark. Thou art the heart's eternal spark. Thou art the door that's open wide. Thou art the guest who waits inside. Calling of the poor.
Lord God, you renew us with the living bread from heaven. Nourish our faith, increase our hope, strengthen our love, and enable us to live by every word that proceeds from out of your mouth, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Almighty God, we thank you for feeding us with the spiritual food, the body and blood of your Son, Jesus Christ. Through him we offer you our souls and bodies to be a living sacrifice. Send us out in the power of your Spirit to live and work to your praise and glory. Amen. Christ, give you grace to grow in holiness, to deny yourselves and to take up your cross and follow him. And the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be with you and remain with you always.
Amen. Amen.
I want to thank all those who worked hard to supply such a delicious Lent lunch last Sunday, and to all of you for your fantastic support. It was a most enjoyable lunch and a most successful lunch indeed. And the amount raised after expenses was £2,400. And that was terrific, the highest ever. I do want to convey my grateful thanks to all of you for your support last Sunday. Tomorrow, the afternoon group are meeting in the choir vestry at 2:30, and all are welcome. Sharon Dixon from the Tullycarnet Yarn Spinners will perform her monologue of the Belfast Blitz. She will have you laughing and crying as she talks about life in Belfast in the 1940s. An afternoon tea will follow. I do hope all of you are using the St. Columba's 40-day challenge during these days, and I hope all is going well. The Bible study group are having a film night on Wednesday in the choir vestry at 7:30. The movie is called Noah, and all are welcome. The Bible study is a small but faithful group, and they will value your support and your attendance for their film night, and refreshments will be served. And I do commend that to you. Paul's are meeting at Hillmount Garden Centre for lunch on Thursday at 12:30, and again, all are welcome. On Friday in St. Malua's, they're having an evening of music and song with the PSNI Ladies Choir and guests, starting at 7:30, admission £10, and supper served. And if you can go, I do encourage you to support our daughter parish. Here in St. Columba's on the 7th of April, Sunday, April 7th, we're going to be having the crucifixion by John Stainer. There is magnificent music at this, and we are immensely privileged that Father Martin O'Hagan from the priests is going to be singing tenor, and Eric Hines, well known to us in this community, who's a member of Knock Methodist Church, is singing bass. The parish choir will be here, along with Jack Wilson at the organ from St. Anne's Cathedral and Dr. Joe McKee. I'm most grateful to our organist and choir for all the additional work that you're doing at a busy time to make preparations for Stainer's crucifixion. There is a suggested minimum donation of £10 for the church roof fund on the evening. Refreshments will be served, and I do want to encourage you to come along. It's the first time, certainly since I've been rector, we've had Stainer's crucifixion here. I do hope that you can invite your neighbours and your friends, and all of you have got a little card to that effect, simply to note and to pass on to those who you know who would like to be with us on that occasion. We now sing with great enthusiasm the hymn that Canon Smith referred to in his sermon, and Canon Smith will give the lead in the singing of this hymn. I am serious, Canon Smith. Unfortunately, Canon Laverty cannot find the old version of the litany for today. We keep that for another Sunday. But we do stand and sing hymn number 641, Yield Ye Not to Temptation, for yielding is sin. Go in peace to love and serve the Lord.
In the name of